Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us for the broadcast today. You know, at various times we do broadcasts that are of special interest to different people in our listening audience. Sometimes I do broadcasts that seem to be specially geared to mothers. And so we'll be talking about, you know, child raising and specifically about moms at home and how they can view the job that they're doing there at home as being to the glory of God. Other times on the program, I do programs that seem to be specifically geared towards preachers. And we'll be talking about putting together sermons or shepherding the flock of God that God has put under the under-shepherd to have the oversight of and so forth. And so those programs are specifically geared to that audience. Well, today we're going to do one that is specifically geared to those people in our listening audience that are involved with computers. You know, there might be times where people are in different walks of life and do different things for a living, of course. And some of the folks in our listening audience that I've talked to over the years have been pretty heavily involved in computer science and programming or different aspects of computer-related field, where they might be involved in web development and these types of things. I myself, I had a background in information technology for a number of years. I was an information technology manager and a CIO in different companies where I had worked. And so I had programmers and web folks and data processing people that had worked with me and for me in different capacities. So I kind of lived in this world. I worked actually as a liaison between the people that used the software throughout these companies and the people who wrote the software, because I found that there was often a disconnect between those two people. It's kind of two different skill sets and two different mindsets. And I think that, you know, in the providence of God, that He has created people differently this way, that some people, boy, they almost seem to think in code. And then the people that are sometimes that were using the software, they didn't understand the code whatsoever, and they just wanted to get their job done in order entry or marketing or some of the other aspects of the company. And so I kind of bridged the gap between those two groups. I understood a little bit about the code and what it could do, but I also understood it from the what we would refer to as users. I never liked that term. It seemed to have a drug connotation to it. But the user side of the company and trying to help them to be able to facilitate the code to make their jobs easier. So we're going to look at this subject today. Okay? It's called Computer Science is the book that we're talking about. And the subtitle is Discovering God's Glory in Ones and Zeros. It's a little booklet that has been published by PRP Books, that's Presbyterian and Reformed Publishing, and it's very short, a little booklet, but very interesting. The write-up on the website says this: what does computer programming have to do with God? Jonathan Stoddard shows us how computing transcends computers themselves and finds its source in the God who speaks the world into existence. The way programmers write code gives them a unique insight into God's all-powerful word. Discover how constructing software can glorify God and unveil more of His character. Jonathan Stoddard is the assistant pastor at Jordan Presbyterian Church in Utah. He received his BA in Information and Computer Science from Covenant College and is MDiv from Westminster Theological Seminary. Jonathan, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Hi, Kevin. It's good to be here.
Well, Jonathan, you've got an uphill battle here today. You've got to explain something about computer science, maybe to some folks that don't normally think in those terms. And then you've got the second project here to do of showing us how in the world computer science can relate to the glory of God. Let me just give you the rest of the program. Go ahead and do that, if you would, please.
No. All right.
Let me ask you, why did you decide to write this book? And tell us a little bit. Give us a little summary of what you wrote here.
Yeah. Well, it was funny hearing you talk. I didn't realize you had a background in technology as well. And I always felt, in some ways, what I loved doing was the same thing that you described. I loved computers. I studied that in college, and I understood them well. But what I really liked doing was being that interface between the folks that wrote the code and then the users, as you described them.
Mm-hmm.
And so this book, in some way, is one, an attempt to do that, but I really wrote it to my younger self. In college, I was a Christian, and I loved computers. I loved what they could do, and I went to a college that was very focused on this belief that, every Christian has a calling, and that we can glorify God in our professions, and yet I struggled to figure out, well, what does that look like in this realm of computer science? Because most people see them as really at the opposite end of the spectrum in life, in one sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrestled with that some in college, and then it was really in seminary. I was taking a class on science and faith that was taught by Dr. Poitras, who's really interested in this topic, and the assignment was to write a paper on some intersection between science and faith. I said, well, now I've got a computer science degree, and now I've almost got a seminary degree, so maybe I can do this. And I talked to him a lot. And basically, that's where this little booklet came from. And the idea is really that I think what makes it unique from all the thinking that I'd done previously is often people, and this is what I was doing when I was younger, we take a computer or we look at the discipline of computer science, and then we say, all right, based on what I know about that, now can I then make the jump to understand God in some way?
Mm.
And so it's moving from something human to, and then finite, to something that's infinite.
Mm.
And that's interesting, but I think it's ultimately limited. And in fact, all of Scripture, the pattern is God coming down to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I try to do in this book is flip it. So based on what we know about God, what can that teach us about computers and this discipline? And then how does that then allow us to worship God and praise him even more? So that's a kind of real big overview of what the book is. I'm sure we'll discuss some more specifics about how that works out.
Yeah, let me comment on a couple of things that you said. First of all, you were describing in the very beginning the idea of the doctrine of vocation, which we've talked about before on the broadcast, but flowing out of the Reformation is where it was kind of rediscovered, but in the, just for our listening audience, to remind them that vocation, the doctrine of vocation, deals with that, you know, the preacher is just not the only one who is called, that everyone is called by God to a specific life work that we invest ourselves in, and we should approach that life work with that same sense of zeal that a preacher would approach the idea of being called to preach God's word. And so Luther brought this out. Calvin brought this out. In fact, even today, we still use a saying when we find something that is done well, that somebody has really applied themselves to it. We speak about it, you know, being like a Swiss watch. Well, that idea of the Swiss watch being made so well came out of the time of Geneva, that Calvin was in Geneva and teaching the concepts of the doctrine of vocation. The Swiss watchmakers, were there being there in Geneva, had applied that concept to the way that they worked, and they became well-known, worldwide known, for their quality of workmanship that they put into their work, their vocation, because they felt that they were called by God to do it. And to this day, their work is still renowned. In fact, Now, a lot of people don't realize that the first two people filled with the Holy Spirit in the scripture were the craftsmen. Aholiab, Bezaleel, and Aholiab were filled with the Holy Spirit in order to build some of the furniture for the tabernacle. And so the vocation is a very, very important subject, and I'm glad you alluded to it. The second thing I wanted to mention is, I wanted to ask you, though, Jonathan, before we got started, was, do you feel that some people have a sense of a little bit of an anti-technology sense, and they feel that here you are describing the idea of the way that through computer science we can learn something about God, we can see God in computer science, but some people feel, well, you know, that's all part of matter or something, or that's all, there's a dualism or something in their thinking, and that computer science, well, that's all almost evil, that's all physical, we need to concentrate on the spiritual. Do you run into that concept at all?
Yeah, you know, I think where I really see it work out is, and I talked just a little bit about it in the book, but there's so much you could say, that there are a lot of ways in which computers can be used for evil, mm-hmm. and wrong things. And yet, though, I mean, I think it really ties back to the message of Romans 1, mm-hmm. where what we have in computers work because of the attributes of God. And so the laws of logic are things that are reflections of God's character and are absolutely required for a computer to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of the way in which we image God and we can glorify him by using those. But, you know, the message of Romans 1 is we recognize those attributes of God.
Mm-hmm.
So things that we are required for a computer to work, but then because of our sinful nature, we then corrupt them by either elevating them and worshiping them or corrupting them so that in one sense it elevates us and worships us. And mm-hmm. so that's where that what is good, and I think this is throughout Scripture, what God created is good. Because of sin, we corrupt it and mm-hmm. use it for evil.
Oh, good point.
And so there's absolutely a role for the Christian computer scientist, because there's an apologetic nature to this, because we can then point people to, we don't dismiss it, but we use it for the way that God intended it to be used.
Mm-hmm. So it's the object of the use of the technology, not the technology itself, we may be able to say is amoral in and of itself, but the use of it, what purposes is it being used for? Now, you alluded to Romans chapter 1 and the attributes of God then. Let's talk about that in your book. How do you connect the idea of computer science with the attributes of God? And I imagine we're talking about more of a general revelation, where certain attributes of God are seen like in natural revelation, or, mm-hmm. you know, the things that are evident even to those who haven't received special revelation from God, the special, you know, his word that is revealed to us. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's actually both in some ways.
Okay.
So just a quick example, in the booklet, I try to draw the parallel between certain attributes that we actually get from Scripture. So things like the fact that God is immutable, he doesn't change, that God is powerful, that God is omnipresent. And so in God's universe, we learn about that in Scripture. We observe that in his universe. But then what's really interesting to me is that programmers rely on those same attributes for them to do their job. So the fact that God is immutable, that in one sense, it's what I call an analogical relationship. You say it trickles down so that a programmer is really thankful that there's this attribute of immutability, because when, you know, someone writes a program in India, let's say,
mm-hmm.
And then someone in the United States runs it, or someone, an astronaut goes out and runs that program, it's going to work the same way.
Hmm.
There's an attribute of immutability that's required for the computer to work. The fact that God is all-powerful, the entire universe is subject to God's laws. Now, the computer programmer relies on this, that when he writes his code, the computer obeys it perfectly. Sometimes to the programmer's consternation because he made a mistake.
Yeah, exactly.
Or, you know, the tech guy who's trying to help somebody and the person says, well, the computer's not doing what I want it to do. And, you know, anyone who's been in that situation wants to say, well, no, it's doing exactly what you told it to do. You just told it to do the wrong thing. But there's this relationship that in these universes, these mini universes of the computer, that they are actually using and borrowing and requiring these attributes of God and these extensions of his attributes for the thing to work.
Mm. That's interesting. The idea of immutability, that's a great insight to bring that in. 1 + 1 = 1, and 1 + 1 = 2.
Yeah.
1 + 1 = 2, and that will, it will always be 2. And so the
right.
immutability of God is seen. You know, you talked in the beginning about zeros and ones that are mentioned in your book, and these are seen as being immutable. That and it points to that immutability of God. You and I were talking just a moment ago about how that. It can be used for good or evil. It's interesting because there was just a news item that came out recently about Google and the search for immortality. So through computers, you know, here they are trying to reach out and get immortality through the use of computers. And yet we know, of course, that the only way that we can live forever and have everlasting life is by having a relationship with God through the person and work of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I just thought it was a great example in which you were just talking about that you can't, you can use these technologies for both good and evil.
Yeah.
You mentioned immutability. The second one I think you mentioned was the idea of God's power. Let's talk about that a little bit. How does computer science point to God's power?
Yeah, well, it in some ways they're all related, but it's the idea that, so when I open up the booklet, is talking, we have this saying, actions speak louder than words.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone has kids, I've got two little girls at home, and I, you know, when I say something and they actually do what I say, you know, my wife and I like rejoice and are like, you know, what just happened? They're actually listening to us, the first time. And, because we as humans realize that our words have a very, in some ways, a limited power. And we contrast that with God's word. And one of the best examples of that is the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1, where it's what's almost most notable about it is the fact that it's, for lack of a better term, boring in that it says, and God spoke, and this happened, and God said, and this happened, and God said, and this happened. Nothing, it's not like, you know, the atoms and the, you know, the universe is saying, well, God, can we get to it later? No, it happens exactly when he says it, and it happens perfectly. So that for God, his word is powerful, that his word is his action. And I make the point that the computer scientist actually has a unique window to understand the power of words, because when he programs, and as I was saying earlier, that the computer perfectly obeys that.
Hmm.
And that, I think, is an extension of part of God's first command to Adam and Eve in Genesis 1, to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, rule over it, and subdue it, that we, when we, when we program computers, get to experience a small taste of what it's like to have a powerful word.
Mm. Interesting. Some of these guys that write code are just amazing to watch the way that they put the code together in order to get it. Some of these guys were typing code faster than I could think in English. You know, they seem to think in code after a while. And it's very creative, of course. You know, we talk about words having power to create, and the syntax of putting this code together in the right way creates programs that enable people to do things, to print off things, you know, labels or whatever, everything from a very simplistic program that way, all the way to extremely complex functions that they can do. And yet it's all basically the same. It's just lines of code, really, right?
Yeah, it is. And that's one of the interesting things of this computer science. We tend to think of it as a recent thing. And in some ways, it is very recent. But one of the men I mentioned in the book, Donald Knuth, who's kind of considered this father of computer science, and he's a Christian as far as I know, says it's really interesting that in the 60s, there was no such, in the 50s, no really such thing as computer science. And in the 60s, it's like it just explodes, and every single department in every major university has a computer science department. And he says, why is that? And he makes the argument that the method of thinking, that computer science is really a method of processing information, and that has existed since the beginning of time. And I think we take it back to that we are made in the image of God, and this is an outflow of our attributes, so that finally the technology caught up so that people now have an outlet for this. And to draw back to your earlier question about is technology good or bad, God often uses technology, I think, or that it's part of God's sovereign plan for us to worship him. So you can go back and think of if Bach had been born before there was an organ. You see that the technology required to make that organ allowed Bach to glorify God in a way that he couldn't without that piece of technology.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people can abuse that and we warp it, but I think computers can serve that same purpose. I mean, just your radio show, you know,
yes.
20 years ago, the cost to do something like this, and then you couldn't post it online, any of that, it's become accessible to so that you can do something like this with my guesses that wouldn't have been able to be done 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because of technology.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And not only that, we put it out on sermonaudio.com. Mm. And sermonaudio.com, Stephen Lee here in the Greenville area created that. And so now we're talking hundreds of thousands of sermons and radio broadcasts like this are uploaded onto a website, and people all over the world. We had people just this past month, just this radio broadcast, all 50 states, people downloaded versions of the broadcast, different interviews, and in 70 different countries around the world. So, you know, talk about, and I'm pastor of a church in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. So here's this pastor in this little town in Travelers Rest, South Carolina, and yet having a worldwide reach of reaching people for Christ with the gospel through the interviews of authors like yourself talking about these different subjects. So the technology behind that is what has enabled us to be able to do that. And so it's just been such a tremendous blessing. Jonathan, I don't have time to go through the entire little pamphlet that was put together. It's only about 40 pages or so, I think, but for our listener audience sake. But let me ask you, let me give you the final word here on just encouraging the listening audience as to how they should think about technology, or what's your final word to them that you would give on this particular subject?
Yeah, I guess I'd direct it to, in our church I pastor, we've got a lot of people in software development, and it sounds like some of your listeners are in that, and I just want to encourage those folks that and what you do as a Christian in your work, it's really, it flows out of a God who speaks and created a universe. And in your software development, you are fulfilling part of God's command to us to fill the earth and subdue it. And that gives a meaning to your work. And I think it also provides a point of contact for you to talk to your coworkers that what you're doing really has incredible significance.
Oh, very well said, and I'm so glad that you have written this book. As I mentioned, it's just 32 pages long. I said 40, so I tried to expand it for you. I was writing my own code while we were talking. No, just kidding.
Well, it just happened it was 32, which is a good, for anybody in computer science, that's a good number. So I kind of like that that's how it worked out.
Yeah. Excellent, excellent. You see the world in numbers, right, in binary
code.
Yeah.
Well,
Jonathan.
32 is a base 2 number.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you so much. Excellent job on putting this together. We really appreciate you spending a little bit of time here with us today talking about it. I'm going to give the listening audience some more information about where they can get a copy, but I just wanted to say thank you for being on the broadcast with us today.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin.
Okay, again, that was Jonathan Stoddard, and Jonathan is an assistant pastor at Jordan Presbyterian Church in Utah, and the title of the book is called Computer Science, Discovering God's Glory in Ones and Zeros, and the book is only $4. You can get it for $4 out on PRP Books. That's the website, Presbyterian and Reformed Publishing, and their website, PRP Books, that's plural, books, prpbooks.com, and you just go out there and type in the word computer science, and it'll bring you to the page where you can get a copy of this book.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.